One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Clifford and Paul in Paul's studio at the top of the house.
Elwood hasn't come back yet, Paul. Is Teddy still in the room?
Yep, in there sound asleep all by herself.
Fine thing. Bridegroom not here and the bride asleep and still no honeymoon. Are they ever going to get together?
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. You're thinking of just one thing when you're feeling miserable with a headache. You're thinking of relief. How good it would feel not to have a headache. And friends, that's the time to remember that Alka-Seltzer is first aid for relief from headache. All we ask you to do is try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. Here's all you do. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink it. Since Alka-Seltzer is a solution when you take it, the pain-relieving analgesic sodium acetyl salicylate is ready to go right to work. And say, that fizz that created thousands of sparkling bubbles gives speed to Alka-Seltzer's relief-giving qualities. Yes, it gets there fast to give fast relief. So remember, first aid for relief from headache is Alka-Seltzer. Chapter 24, Book 78. Paul Barber's adopted daughter, Teddy, is now Mrs. Elwood Giddings. She's been a wife for 24 hours, but the marriage so far has resulted in a series of frustrations. Last night, Teddy was called back to duty at the hospital just as she and Elwood were about to go to the hotel for their first night together. She expected to be at the hospital until about midnight tonight, but was allowed to come home early when her superiors learned of her marriage. When she arrived this afternoon, Elwood and Father Barber had gone for a drive, and they aren't back yet. And so the bridegroom is somewhere in Marin County headed for San Francisco. His bride lies in her room at the top of the family home, asleep and alone. Paul sits in his studio adjoining Teddy's room, gazing abstractedly into the fire.
Come in.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Cliff. Come on in. I thought it might be Elwood.
No, bridegroom isn't back yet. Fine thing, huh? Teddy's still sleeping?
Yeah, poor kid's all in. They had her working in surgery most all of last night.
It's a great honeymoon. Maybe it's just as well Elwood wasn't here when she got home this afternoon as she was this time.
She slept right through dinner. She ought to eat something, but I guess sleep is more important.
You think she'll be rested enough to get up and go to the hotel with Elwood when he gets here? He's reserved the bridal suite at the Mark, you know. Poor guy. Had to cancel it last night. Told him he'd be there tonight instead. What is there about Elwood, Paul, that things just don't seem to click? Don't you think there must be something to this business about being born under an unlucky star, doesn't it?
Well, circumstances haven't been very kind to him and Teddy so far, I will say that.
Yeah, but is it just circumstances? Or does Elwood make the circumstances? Look at today. He could have stayed around here instead of going to San Rafael with Dad.
Well, you can't blame him for that. Teddy told him she wouldn't be here till late tonight. He didn't know she was going to get off early.
Sure, that's just the point. Something always happens to gum things up. Oh, I don't mean it's his fault. It's just that he always seems to be out of step, just missing somehow. Well, I'm not criticizing, understand, anything, but I've been missing myself most of my life. All I'm getting at is why. Some people go through life and their gears always seem to be in mesh, and they ride along as smooth as you please. And other people, the Elwoods, are always grinding their gears, stripping the teeth off them.
It often seems that way, all right. But the reassuring thing about Elwood is that he doesn't let setbacks lick him.
I wish I could learn to do that. I get a kick in the teeth and it sets me right back on my heels and I want to give up. If a dame had ever given me the air the way Teddy did Elwood before he was taken sick, I'd never want to see her again. Not him. He stays right in there slugging and marries a girl.
Well, if you love somebody, Cliff, it gives you a lot of strength. Makes you overlook hurts.
But if I were Elwood, I'd always have it in the back of my mind that it was sympathy or something that made Teddy marry me. I don't know. I'd feel kind of suspicious. Never quite trust her feelings. I'd keep wondering if she really loved me.
With an attitude like that, a marriage wouldn't have a chance.
Of course it wouldn't, is what I'm saying.
Come in. Well, Elwood.
Oh.
Come on in.
We're just about giving you up.
I don't wonder. Father Barber and I had no idea Teddy was home. We were just driving around killing time.
Well, sit down.
Thanks. Father Barber told me Teddy was asleep.
Cliff and I have been sitting here talking. Haven't heard a sound in her room there.
Well, when we came in just now, your mother said that Teddy had been here since this afternoon. I could have kicked myself for ever leaving the house. I wasn't expecting her till midnight. I thought I wasn't getting here. I thought I was getting here way ahead of her.
I bet Dad feels like kicking himself, too, for keeping you away so long.
Well, it wasn't his fault. We had a very pleasant day driving around. Drove up the road as far as Gurneyville. Father wanted me to see that country up there along the river. I never saw anything as beautiful as those redwoods.
You had quite a trip.
Oh, wonderful. Of course, some of the joy has gone out of it now, though. All the time I was up there, I could have been with Teddy. Those redwoods will always be there, but I can never get back those hours I've lost with her.
I can understand how you feel, Elwood, but there are many, many hours that lie ahead for you and Teddy. Years, in fact.
Thank you, Paul. Hope I can make him happy years for her. I'm going to try my level best. Even if we are getting off to kind of a mixed-up start.
We called Dr. Froschauer at San Rafael and left word that Teddy was here.
Yeah, we didn't stop there. Decided to take that long drive instead. Well, anyway, Teddy was able to get some rest. Mother Barbara said she was all in when she got home from the hospital.
Yes, she didn't even get up to eat dinner.
Gosh, she's that tired. I wonder if I ought to wake her.
Well, if you can't wake a woman up to go on her honeymoon, I don't know when you would wake her.
She must be sleeping awfully sound. I think our voices would disturb her with the door of her room right there. Of course, we haven't been talking loud.
You want me to let out a yell, Elwood? Then you can blame me.
I don't know what to do, to tell the truth. Maybe it would be better if I waited and just let her wake up by herself. Mind if I stay here with you for a while, Paul?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Well, I give her a little more time, see. When I made the reservation at the hotel, I told her we wouldn't get there around midnight anyway. Feel kind of silly just sitting around this way. I don't know what else to do.
You're certainly being very thoughtful. I'll say that for you, Elwood. Isn't every man who'd be this patient?
Oh, isn't that I'm being patient exactly, Clifford. I know how tired you can get in the Army. I've been there.
Bet you. You know something, Elwood? We all think you're just about okay.
Well, thanks, Clifford. I want you to know how much it means to me to be accepted this way. All of you have been so wonderful to me, so thoughtful that I hope to prove that I'm worthy of it someday. I always get a little embarrassed when I try to tell anybody something like this, but I guess you know how I feel, all right?
Certainly.
Sure. Well, think I'll go downstairs. I hope you don't have too long to wait, Elwood.
I waited a good many years before I found Teddy, so I guess it won't hurt me to wait for a little longer.
Yeah, I guess you're right at that. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, good night, Cliff. He's an awful sweet fellow, that Cliff.
Bet he is.
I don't think he liked me very much at first, but now that we're getting to know each other a little better, I feel it won't be too long before we're real friendly. I hope so. I hope we'll get to be friends, too, Paul. Somehow I can't bring myself to regard you as a father-in-law.
Sort of an adopted father-in-law, I suppose you'd call it, huh?
Well, not even that. Maybe because you're not such an awful lot older than I am.
Oh, I've got you by quite a few years, I'm afraid.
Well, not enough that you seem like a father to me. I'm 35, you know. It's a long ways from being a kid. But that's beside the point. What I'm getting at is that you don't seem like Teddy's father either. Maybe I feel that way because I know you adopted her, but I don't think so. I don't mean that you haven't been wonderful. Well, to hear Teddy talk, you've been about the greatest father in the world.
She's biased.
Yes. You'll excuse me for saying this, but, well, sometimes I've felt she's too fond of you. I've been jealous of you. Well, that's a terrible admission to make, isn't it?
It's not terrible at all. I can understand perfectly how you might feel jealous. Teddy does cling to me too much. That often happens with an adopted child, particularly with a lonely little girl such as Teddy was when I took her. She was almost nine, and I became her ideal out of all proportion to reality. And she's still seeing me the way she did when I rescued her from loneliness and unhappiness. I hope her marriage to you will change that, give her a more realistic viewpoint. She's very mature in many ways, but she can't bring herself to grow up in her feelings toward me. It's a childish kind of adoration, and may take a bit of time to adjust itself with the real love she holds for you, Elwood. There is a conflict there. Not a conflict of love, you understand, but one of emotions. As a result, you may find her somewhat trying, even unreasonable for a while. But I believe you're big enough and love her enough so that you'll roll with the punches, so to speak, and until such time as she can get straightened around.
Yes, I understand. Thank you for being so honest, Paul. You made something clear to me that's been bothering me for some time.
Yes, I'm glad we've had this opportunity to talk. I've been wanting to tell you this, but I didn't quite know how to go about it.
Strange, I just got through telling you that you didn't seem like a father to me, and now all of a sudden that's exactly what you do seem. Pretty wonderful one, too.
Thank you.
St. Paul, is that clock right there? Is it really 10:45?
I'm afraid it is.
Gosh, I think I'll tap lightly on Teddy's door. It's possible she might be awake.
Well, it won't hurt to try.
Well, I'll do it very quietly. Teddy? Think it'd be all right if I opened the door and peeked in at her?
Why, sure.
It's locked.
Well, if you want to wake her, just rap good and loud.
Hey, listen. I think I can hear her breathing heavily.
Yes, if it weren't unromantic, you could almost call it a snore, couldn't you?
Paul, I haven't got the heart to wake her if she's that tired. I'll call up the hotel and cancel that bridal suite again. We'll leave on our honeymoon tomorrow.
The Barbers will be back in a moment. I wonder how many of you folks know how effective Tabsin is for relief from cold symptoms.
Well, we certainly found that to be true, Mr. Barton. Tabsin is an antihistaminic cold tablet, isn't it?
That's right. Tabsin contains one of the most effective antihistamines to help relieve the sniffling and sneezing of a cold and that watery, uncomfortable feeling in the eyes. But Tabsin does more.
Oh, yes, I know. I think it helps relieve the feverish feeling I often have with the cold and the headache, too.
Yes, Tabsin does do this. It contains a special ingredient to help relieve the fever and headache that so often accompany a cold. That's why we say Tabsin is a better formula for relief of discomforts of a cold than any antihistamine alone. Try it next time you feel a cold coming on. Yes, when you take cold, take Tabsin quick. Feel better quick. Get Tabsin at any drugstore. Ask for T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin, the bright red tablets in the bright red package. Here's the family again.
Hey, Elwood, where are you going?
To my room. I'm going to bed.
Well, didn't you wake Teddy up?
No.
What about your honeymoon?
Oh, postponed again. I canceled that bridal suite so often, the hotel's beginning to get annoyed at me.
Friends, when you feel miserable with a cold, take Tabsin quick. Feel better quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabsin. Now at all drugstores for relief of hay fever and cold discomfort. Tabsin is the improved antihistaminic tablet made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tabsin relieves sniffles and sneezes, the watering and itching of the eyes and nose. But Tabsin does more. It can also relieve, quickly and effectively, the headache and fever that are so often a part of the misery of a cold. That's Tabsin, T-A-B-C-I-N, for cold misery. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Chapter 25, Book 78. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.